This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock of the Money podcast, episode 78. Time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to financial independence and retirement. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Best Financial Coach, along with Amanda, corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money for the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Craig.
So just real quick, on that last episode a couple days ago,
you talked
about apps in your Savvy Savings, and I've been working through the Clarity Money one, which I downloaded during the episode, and I've been connecting everything. So I'm not ready to give a report. We'll do that next week, but it's looking pretty cool.
So it's in the works.
Yeah, apparently you got to do a few things to connect. Well, it needs to have access to things. So I'm going through all that and I'm kind of busy. So I need to get this done. So next episode, I will promise to do a review. I'm excited about though. It looks really interesting. Just wanted to say that. That was a great episode, by the way. I like that. But what are we doing today?
Today is a highly anticipated and special episode, social media questions.
Which people like. Yeah. So we'll knock out a bunch of these. Let's see.
I like it too. It lets us cover a broad range of topics. It is.
I think, because it brings out things that, and then we get to talk about them. So it's like a lot of mini episodes.
Yeah.
Is what I like. So what I should do, Amanda, is take these questions and make them separate entries in the blog. Maybe not. That's more work. All right, let's go.
Whatever you want to do, Craig.
Amanda just says, all right. She's like, yeah, you just go do your thing, okay? All right, question number one. You ready to knock this out?
Yeah, let's do it.
I have a lot of debt from misusing credit cards and from business. I used to own, it's now closed. Oh, a business they used to own, it's now closed. I'm really debating bankruptcy because I'm so stressed out and don't know what to do. Do you have any advice? I've sold everything I could and I've moved back in with my parents. Mm-hmm. That's all the information we have from this.
Yeah, I think people have a misunderstanding about bankruptcy.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah. Can you help us out with that a little bit?
Sure, I can. So under most bankruptcy, you still have to pay the money back. It's just putting you on a payment plan. Mm. So it doesn't, a lot of people, I think, believe that bankruptcy just wipes out all of your debt.
That's not really the common thinking. Yeah.
In most cases, under most chapters of bankruptcy, that's not the case. And more than that, the payment plan, they're also going to look at all of your personal assets and make you sell them. Mm-hmm. So I know you said that you sold most of the things you own, but what about your car? Have you considered that? Because that's fair game. You know, anything else that you might have, any accounts you have are fair game. And I think people believe, and I could be wrong, but I think people believe that bankruptcy is a clean slate.
Right. A start over.
Yeah. And I don't know what a lot of debt is. You know, speak to a bankruptcy expert for sure, because there are some situations where it may be the last option.
Don't they have to approve you for a bankruptcy? Like if they see you have the capability of doing it, they're like, no, you can't.
Oh, yeah. The courts have to approve it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not an automatic thing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't get to just decide. It has to be approved.
You mean I can't run out to Best Buy and a bunch of TVs, go to Costco, load up and say, oh, I'm going to bankrupt.
Yeah. I mean.
People do that, by the way. They load everything up and then say, oh, I'm just going to start over, but I get to keep everything. No, it's not how it works. Mm. All right. So at least I like how they moved back over to their parents because that really dramatically lowers your living expenses. I want to know did they really look through and create a budget and actually say, all right, if I do like the baby steps, right? So yeah. Baby step one is $1,000 emergency fund. You need to have that. Yeah. Baby step two, did you actually list out your debts in the order that we teach? So you have the smallest balance, the largest, has nothing to do with interest rates. And what would it take to pay that off with your income? Right. And can I work more jobs to pay it off? That's that way most people do it and don't do bankruptcy. So we don't have all that information, but that is the proper way of doing it. And people have had hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt and they've gotten out by not doing bankruptcy.
Right, right. So the most common ones, really the only two options that I'm aware of that are available to individuals, there's two, Chapter 7 or Chapter 13. Chapter 7 is often called liquidation. It involves selling all of the assets that you have and paying off the creditors. And the creditors are designated by the courts in terms of priority. So you would have to sell off everything in that case.
Wow.
That's very uncommon to be approved. More common is Chapter 13. And again, this one allows people to file a repayment plan. They may help avoid losing a house from foreclosure or things like that. But again, you can determine your own repayment plan by using the debt snowball. Right. Now, if you go Chapter 13, you're allowing the courts to tell you what your repayment plan is. And they'll garnish your wages.
Mm. Oh, yeah. If you own taxes, that's priority over everything.
Yep. They'll take every tax return. They'll take any other benefit. If you're supposed to be collecting unemployment, they'll garnish that. If you're supposed to be, or if you thought you were going to be getting a check from the government for as part of a stimulus package or something like that, they'll take that. Yeah.
I would never want to go through that. I should never have to right now, but I would never want to have to go through that. I hear it's really ugly. Dave Ramsey went through that, didn't he?
He did, before he started becoming much more savvy, yes.
Yeah, he overextended himself in real estate, if you know the whole story. And he said it was really bad. It was very emotional. It was really, really bad. But he was young, and he just had so much debt. And then the banks called him on all his loans.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said he wouldn't do it again, right?
He said it was really bad. He was married at the time. He was young and stupid, is what he says. Yeah. And I know there's some sales part in there, but he did actually have a real story and he got himself out of there. So, he's speaking from experience. I mean, I've had debt. I paid off mine. Amanda, we're not just making this stuff up, guys. It is so much better if you can get out of debt and stay out. And do it the right way. It's slow. It's methodical. And I'm telling you, life is just so much easier. Isn't it, Amanda? We're not selling you guys anything. We're trying to get you to get to where we are. And then you actually have money every month so you can go do things and you aren't charging it.
Well, yeah. So in this particular case, they're looking for advice. My advice is it's time for you to hustle and increase your income as much as possible and work on your debt snowball. Yep. And to the extent you can dig out even slowly on your own, that would be the advice, is make as many payments as you can to your largest debt, make the minimums to the other, and then snowball it.
They've sold everything and they're living with the parents. That's perfect.
That's perfect. A great start. Yes.
It's an amazing start. You have no overhead. If your parents are helping you with, I don't know if they're charging you rent, but you are set up right now. Now you can actually get out. And trust me, you can do it. You got to get off your butt and go work. Go to work.
Yep. Anyway. Get a bigger shovel.
There you go. Question number two. I wish I had someone to tell me to listen to you when I was 18. And now I'm about to be 24 with $30,000 in debt. I'm working down on paying down this debt. Thank God I found you. I want to be able to live a debt-free life. How can I accelerate my income to pay this off? I am so motivated.
Oh, this
number
goes
one,
hand in hand.
I love what that. I love that. And they're young. They're 24. And if they can
Not
do
quite.
This right now.
Almost 24.
Almost 24, that's right. But I love the motivation here. And they're young. And they realize it now. I'm going to assume that's college debt.
College or credit card.
College credit
card or car.
Yeah, there you go.
All of it. All of the above.
But they're realizing early And doing it at this age is setting them up so much in the future. It really is. The sooner we can get people to understand this basic stuff. So what would you like to tell them, Amanda? Okay, accelerate this off.
Yeah. So I think first I would refer you to our Savvy Savings segment number 8, which is all about side hustles to start making extra money. So
I love it.
We did cover a number of side hustles there. It's 18 minutes of your life.
Yes.
Savvy Savings segment 8, which you can find on rockonthemoney.com. Just do a search for side hustles in the search bar, or you can just look for Savvy Savings segment number 8. We also have on episode 37 a great interview with our eBay expert Dana Crawford. So if you have anything lying around, and listen to the interview there, because even if you don't, if you think you don't have anything to sell on eBay, you might be surprised by her suggestions, and that might be an option for you as well.
That was a great episode. I think people sleep on that. Because you and I both, especially I like to prove people wrong. I immediately went and sold stuff on eBay. I had a couple $1,000 in 2 weeks.
Yes.
So when, even though I don't need to do it, I do it to prove people wrong because I don't want to hear excuses. And people get upset with me, but I will go out and hustle, even though I don't have to prove you wrong. I don't want to hear excuses. I'm a coach. Yeah. I'm the guy that says, give me 5 more push-ups. So I will prove you wrong. eBay is so underrated. It is so underrated if you want extra cash.
It doesn't have to be just eBay. It could be your local Facebook marketplace.
Or what did you say, Poshmark, your clothes?
Poshmark, Mercari.
You had a whole episode about that stuff. I mean, there's so many ways to make money in this new internet that we have available. Guys, you're sitting at home. There's so many ways to make money in the internet. Guys, right now, I have never said this before, Amanda. I'm not going to dwell on it. I am playing video games on Facebook right now, streaming live, making money. I'm playing a video game with a webcam on Facebook, making money from Facebook.
To be fair, you have a very sophisticated technology setup, right? So it's not just.
Yeah, but there's like 17-year-olds with an iPad connected to Facebook because it's easy to stream on Facebook, and they're playing PUBG, the mobile version, streaming it, and they're just playing it and they're making money. So mine's more sophisticated than others, but there are people streaming with their mobile phone and they're making money. So
there are so many different, you just have to be creative,
right? Just, you gotta stop watching Netflix. You can make money.
Everybody, you can make money on Fiverr, running errands for people.
Oh my goodness. You just have to, do you want to do it or not is what it is. Yeah. So
you'll find a way if you're motivated.
Mm-hmm. But get a bunch of side hustles and just knock it out. Knock out your 30, your 30 grand. Number 3.
Yes.
This is a lot of people. Well, that was a positive one. Let me try and read this. I'm reading it as they typed it. I should have cleaned up. Here we go. I'm panicking. I'm 55. I have $475,000 in a 401k. That's a great amount, by the way. $500,000.
That's good.
It's good. I have $38,000 in car debt. That's not so good. And my home, we owe $249,000 with $125,000 in equity. $125,000 equity. With my age, should I be contributing to my 401k and pay off my car? At the same time, I don't want to get behind in my 401k and work all my life. How can I make more money and grow while paying off my car? Please help.
Well, you're going to make more money by paying off your car faster because your interest rate on your car is draining you, just like your interest rate on your house is draining you.
Right.
Go ahead, Craig. I think you're the expert here with your baby steps.
Well, it's not only that, but this is a very common thing. And especially we have a lot of airline people, stuff like that. Everyone doesn't want to stop contributing and get company matches and all this and pay their debt. They feel like they're missing out in the future. If I'm not contributing, I need to keep doing that and pay my debt. That's not how it works, guys. And mathematically, you're not really doing that. Because we need to take all of our extra available money and put it at the debt and then don't go back in debt. So the baby steps are
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, please.
One thing real quick.
Good.
$38,000 in car debt. You need to sell that car and pay it off.
Yeah, I was going to get to that too. People get, when I do the coaching individually, Amanda, and that comes up, I'm like, you need to sell the car. And they freak out like, well, I can't. I'm like, why can't you? And here's the excuse I hear, Amanda. Well, I need something reliable. I'm like, you can get a $5,000 reliable car.
Even if you downgraded to a used reliable car in the $10,000 to $12,000 range, you're going to save yourself like $25,000.
And we went through, I don't know what episode was, but it was the most reliable used cars. And almost 8 out of 10 of them were Toyota. You can go get a used Toyota Camry for $10,000 right now, and you can knock out most of that debt. Of course, we don't know what the value.
Not just used, certified used.
Certified used, right.
With warranty plan, extended warranties and the maintenance plans, everything like that. So it's practically like buying a new car.
Right. So going back to baby steps real quick before we talk about that car again. So the baby steps are you have $1,000 emergency fund. You have to have that before you start this. All extra money goes towards the debt. And then we pay off our debt except for home. Then we build up another emergency fund, the fully funded. So let's get back to this $38,000 car. You need to get rid of that car.
Yeah,
ASAP. And that takes a little bit of pride because a lot of people are also, they don't want to see their friends all see, they went from this $38,000 car. Now they're driving an older Camry. They're like, what happened? And they don't want to admit what they're working on. But trust me.
I think right now people aren't judging. Right now, no one is judging anyone on what they're doing.
You know, that's a really good point you just said. You just hit me there with a little bomb. I didn't think about that. You know what? Because a lot of people hurting that used to make a lot of money, now they're not.
But I don't think there's any judgment right now on anyone.
That's, you know what? I got to think about that more. That's a good, you just dropped a bomb on me.
Yeah.
I like that. That's true. You really need to downgrade it. I would just say get a Toyota. Consumer Reports has a list of the most reliable used cars. And you could easily get one $10,000 to $12,000 and it would be great. And trust me, it's reliable. Cars today are so reliable. It's not like the 70s and 80s. Those used ones would break down time. Now, used cars are super reliable and you need to get rid of. That would knock out $28,000 just like that.
Yeah.
Or you could work forever and go deliver pizzas with your $38,000 car. It's up to you. Literally
and then
have
after
to do that.
After that, then you need to look at paying off your mortgage as fast as possible.
Because when you hit retirement, you really need to be debt free, including your mortgage. And do not touch that 401k. I will haunt you in your dreams if you do that. You have 475. That will double. Okay, so Amanda, if all that money is in an index fund, it makes 8%.
Yeah.
That money will double in 9 years. He will now have $1 million. Before he's 65. It should hit $1 million.
Yeah.
Should.
Even if nothing else is added.
Right. You'll be close. So you're 55. Leave it alone. Make sure it's in index funds. Let that thing double one more time. And boom, at 65, you have $1 million. And you can withdraw $40,000 a year from that. There you go.
There you go.
You actually are better off than you think you are. It's the car that's causing the problem. So, I got all fired up.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back, and we'll knock out a few more questions. We got some good ones coming up, Amanda. You thought the first three were good? Wait till you hear the next three. All right. So, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, I will be honored to help you find an expert to work with in your local area. at choicerealtyconnect.com, I will help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. choicerealtyconnect.com serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation properties, or you're a first-time home buyer or even a seasoned buyer, let me help connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda, and I'm her sidekick, Craig. We have more questions. Don't forget to go to our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all of our podcasts. And of course, use your favorite podcast app. Just search for Rock on the Money on there. You'll see, Craig, you'll see our faces on there in a big old lime green money. And that's us. And just subscribe to us and we'll be delivered right to your phone whenever we drop a new episode. We got a lot of them. So we try and give you quality, guys, and we're not selling you anything. So, hey, we got a couple more questions, Amanda.
Yeah.
You want to read the next one?
I would love to. So, social media question number 4. Self-employed business owners. I'm self-employed and my husband is as well. What do you do on the side as extra side hustle, and how do you advertise for your business? I live in a very rural area and out in the country. Any tips or advice?
All right, well, my first question is, I don't know what that business is. Because if you're online, it doesn't matter if you're out in the middle of nowhere, as long as you have internet. So,
right.
But if you're selling something on the road. Well, even if
you don't, it's so easy to advertise online, you know, like Facebook ads. Use your social media platforms to your advantage. Are you on Instagram?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Be entertaining.
Yeah. And Gary Vaynerchuk, who I'm a big fan of, Gary V., I would subscribe to his podcast too. You'll get motivated, because here's the deal. And here's what I'm doing with the gaming thing. If you're not posting 3 to 6 things per day, you're not really building up your social exposure, and then putting ads on top of that. Facebook ads and Instagram ads are the best way to get your word out there. So if you're not doing that properly and learning how to do that, you can target those ads to your zip code. So let's say you're selling, what are those llama looking things with the fur and people sell the...
Alpaca?
Alpacas. So let's say you're out in the middle of nowhere. Why am I bringing up alpacas? That's a great one. I see those around here in Pennsylvania and Maryland. People have alpaca farms. Let's say you're selling alpaca clothes. Okay, you raise alpacas, you sell the fur. If you're not posting pictures of your alpacas, because they have that weird smile, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. They're cute. They're cute little things. So if you're not posting how you're taking care of them, all that, hey, look what we're making today. You know, make a little YouTube video. Hey, this is how we make this pillow of using alpaca. I'm just using that as an example. But and then you have your ads on top of that, looking for people in your zip code. If you're selling at a road store or you have a small thrift shop or something like that, targeting the ad to the zip code of people that are looking for clothes, that have interest in clothes or something like that. You can really narrow down those ads in Facebook, and it works. I've used them, but you got to know how to do it. So you can YouTube of how to do YouTube ads or Facebook right. ads and stuff like that. It, you know, just learn how to do it. And I'm telling you, it's inexpensive and it does work. So I can get on a rant about doing home business and people not using Facebook ads, targeting your audience correctly, because Facebook has a great platform with 3 billion users on it, and not posting regularly on social media of what you do, like behind the scenes. And if somebody has the time to make a comment on there and you're not going back and commenting on their comment and thanking them, you're not doing your job. You literally have to do that. It takes hours. But that's
my I'm not doing my job. I'm terrible with social media.
I think you got so many irons going that all work. I think whatever you're doing is working. You're fine. But home businesses is different, I think.
So. Yeah. Yeah. If that's your sole focus, you need to be running your social media like it's part of your business.
And I'm doing that with this gaming thing I'm doing on Facebook. And I'm proving to the kids, putting 12, 18-hour days in. I mean, we're doing this too, but they come into my chat room. They're like, how do you have 20,000 followers after 7 weeks? I'm like, okay, you only see me streaming for 6 hours. You don't see the other 6 hours of the marketing that I'm putting on top of that. So I'm actually teaching people and proving them wrong. I love proving people wrong.
Yeah.
It's excuses. You got to put in the time, guys. If you're an entrepreneur, like a home business, it's not 9 to 5.
Right.
At all.
The other thing you can do is like make some flyers, hang them up at your local gas stations on those bulletin boards. You know, free. Think about all the other options you have to get your word out there.
I wish we knew what business it was. It is general, but I really wonder if I can find out. Anyway, I could go on about small business. I love that stuff because a lot of people just underdo the marketing part. And then they wonder why there's nobody there. Anyway.
All right. Social media question number 5, Craig.
Yes.
Would you rather pay taxes using a progressive tax rate or a flat tax rate?
Okay. So I put this in there because I really want to hear your thoughts. We've not discussed beforehand. Mm-hmm. I'm a proponent of the flat tax.
Really?
I like the flat tax because there's so many loopholes. I'd rather have a 15% flat overall than a progressive system. Because the progressive system has so many of these loopholes in the tax code. You could eliminate the tax code by just saying 15%, done.
Yeah.
That's why I like the simplicity of the. Now, of course, we have the people at the very bottom end.
I was just thinking that would definitely favor the high income earners.
I wanted to include that because I think it's after like 25,000 or 30 or something like that, then it goes to a flat. So the people at the bottom of the scale, I understand that completely. And we do need a safety net down there for that part. I completely understand. But after a certain dollar amount, it should be a flat fee.
Yeah.
Flat tax. No deductions. You can't deduct. It's a flat tax. Pure flat tax. And I think haven't they done studies where they would actually get more money from that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I thought there were studies that said they would actually collect more, but because... I don't know. See, now we're getting political, but...
I mean, I think it would be much more predictable for people instead of, you know, there's so much anxiety that goes into having your taxes prepared every year, right? Like, am I going to owe money? Am I going to get a refund back? At least for me, anyway. And, you know, sending in estimated payments every quarter and all of that jazz. If it were a flat rate, it would mirror what we do for our property taxes, right?
Absolutely. I know exactly what's going to be.
I think a flat tax would be perfectly acceptable. I like the fact that with property taxes, you can still get a homestead credit or something like that. Still acceptable to do, you know, a standard deduction.
Right. I got you.
Or a deduction that, you know, aligns with what your income level is. But again, that would make it very predictable and helpful for people instead of filling out these W-4 forms that are like, how many exemptions do you have? And then the estimates are still way off. You could just say withhold 15% from my paycheck and then, you know, you're covered. I think people might miss getting their refunds, but
right.
For but those of us should, who have not, end up having to pay in, I wouldn't miss that.
Like these, you know, the president, I'm talking about all the presidents, not just one president. I'm talking about all of them. They all come up with these different deductions and it keeps changing. And then I end up always owing more every time they make a decision. It's like, if it was just flat, it would put a lot of people out of work because they do tax preparation. You wouldn't need that anymore. I, you know, it would ruin the whole industry. I get that. But it's like, it's so complicated. Nobody can figure it out anymore. We've added to the tax code so much. It's like, can't we just make this? Like, I go down the store. I'm going to buy something today. 5.5%. Done. That's it. I go buy something and they charge me tax. I'm out. I'm done. Why can't I do that in my regular income tax? You can. Yeah. It's so like complicated.
Your property taxes, your taxes when you sales tax, it's all on a
right
very predictable percentage.
I go pay gas. I buy gasoline at the gas pump. There's a federal tax. There's a state tax for the roads. All of it's in there. It's done. I pay it. Walk away. But when it comes to income tax,
I honestly hadn't thought about this up until this very moment. So you're catching me on the fly, and I don't know if my answer would be the same if I give it more thought. But that's my gut reaction.
Yeah. No. And we're just rambling. I have no notes in front of me. I've always been a proponent of flat tax, and it's not political. I'm not political. I'm right in the middle of the road. I care less. But that drives me nuts that every year I don't know if I'm getting all the deductions and all the stuff that I can get. Even if you hire somebody, does that person even know? It's so complicated. I can't figure out what it is. I'd be guaranteed I would have more money if I was a flat tax, and the government would have more because nobody can cheat. Nobody can do anything. It's that.
Right.
That's it. So, well, I think a lot of other countries, don't they just put on their gasoline? That's why their gasoline is more expensive.
Well, you pay your federal taxes for that way. On Social Security, that's, you pay the payroll tax, 6.2%, except right now some companies and all of the federal government are not allowed to opt out of withholding that to then have to pay it back in the spring. But
that's a set percentage.
It's a set percentage.
So if the set percentage on my paycheck, why do I still owe when I did everything I was supposed to? It's like, how did that even happen?
Well, that's different. That's payroll tax versus income tax.
I know, but if I only have one job, if you work one career, and you do everything, your payroll's doing all that, and then at the end of the year, all of a sudden you owe, it should not happen.
Right.
If that was your only income. But it happens.
If you're a W-2 worker, it's definitely easier. If you're a small business owner or you're self-employed, then it becomes more complicated.
But anyway, and I know there's people out there cheating, so you can't cheat if it's flat. I think that's
still can somehow.
Yeah. But you see, that's, I think, well, people operate with cash businesses, right? And they don't have, if it's cash, there's no record of it unless you deposit it somewhere.
Yeah. Just like the drug lords.
Well, there's an ice cream shop here in Mount Airy, Maryland. It's great. It's called Jimmy Cone. It's cash only. And they have tons of kids in there working. So how do you know if they're paying their taxes?
Yeah.
You don't.
You don't.
I love Jimmy Cone. I don't mean to pick on him. I'm just saying, if it's a cash only business, you have no idea if they're paying sales taxes or anything.
That's why the drug lords launder their money through cash businesses.
All right. Well, I'm going to contact Jimmy.
You know what movie I love?
What's that?
The Accountant.
Yeah. Ooh, I know.
With Ben Affleck.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, you need to see that. But it's
funny. I've never seen Wolf of Wall Street. I keep wanting to watch that. I mean, I love that stuff. I love business stuff.
Yeah.
Even Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
That's new information. All right, let's go to the next one.
Oh, my goodness. That's has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Next. I'll read this one. I need help. Not me, this person here. I'm on baby step 2, and I find myself spending money on Starbucks. See, this is you, because you're the coffee girl. I find myself spending money on Starbucks and sometimes buying little things I don't need, like snacks when I'm at work, etc. However, my biggest downfall is Starbucks. I make coffee at home, which is my first step during the day. As the day proceeds, I find myself buying another cup, and then I feel guilty afterwards. How did you fix your bad habits with spending money?
So I think you have to meet yourself where you are, right? The first step is acknowledging that is your weakness, and that's fine, right? Well, it's not fine, but you've acknowledged it, and now you can work around it. So first of all, you're doing a great job by making your first cup at home. And if you look at our Savvy Savings segment number 6, we have some tips on saving money on your daily coffee, and that's one of them. There's also some tips on how to save money on your Starbucks coffee there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not unheard of for you to budget in some luxuries. Even in baby step 2, you have to still give yourself the breathing room to spend some money, not a lot of money, but within reason, have a budget for those little things that give you joy and give you purpose to continue living and to continue on your path. Otherwise, it's like a super strict diet that you get excited about, you start, and then 3 weeks later, you're like, I can't sustain this.
Right.
So in order for baby step two to be sustainable, you have to budget, number one. But one of those line items in your budget should be your Starbucks and miscellaneous little things that you give yourself an allowance for. And that gives you a containment of that expense, right? So I would do it in cash in an envelope system. You know, don't be paying on your Starbucks app and then reloading your gift cards on that app because it'll get out of control very quickly. Or I guess the alternative is put your money on that gift card on your Starbucks app and then just know that you can't reload it until your next budget comes out.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, limit yourself to the gift card amount. But I say budget for it. You have to acknowledge what's important to you. And if Starbucks is your one guilty sin, then give yourself that. But then that means that you have to be much more disciplined in every other area of your life. And that is your, that's your luxury. It's a small luxury. I'm not going to judge that as long as you have that budgeted.
Are you going to judge me that I'm going to Sonic today because I like their milkshakes? I want to get a milkshake today. I already have it planned out because I need to go to Best Buy and buy a new mouse from my computer. And I have my heart set on one of those new s'mores shakes.
It's in your budget, Craig. No judgment. If it's in your budget, I don't judge you.
Yes, it's in my budget. It's a line item in my budget.
You have to recognize, first of all, identify what is this costing you every month? And if you can identify that and say, whoa, that's way more than I thought it was. And that's not helping me reach my goal of getting out of debt. You know, it's not unheard of. If you spend $5 at Starbucks every single day, that's 5 times 5 in 1 week is 25 times, let's just say 4 weeks in a month. That's $100 a month in Starbucks. Could you be getting out of debt faster if you even cut that in half to maybe every other day treating yourself or once a week treating yourself? That's all that much more money you can throw at your snowball and be out of debt.
Yeah, I know there's people that buy those mini Keurigs and stuff for their desk at work. I don't know if they have that situation.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I know people that have a cheap $20 Mr. Coffee from Walmart on their desk. So they just make their cup that way.
I love the idea of the mini Keurig because, and then you can also get Starbucks pods that are going to be cheaper on a per cup basis than going to Starbucks.
And we learned that they sell those at Costco. That's the Costco brand, it happens to be Starbucks cups.
Yeah,
it's
repackaged as Costco's Kirkland brand.
But we
so that's what I would say here is you have to determine what you value most. If you are truly getting through life because you have Starbucks in your life, I'm not going to judge that. You just have to work that into your budget. And just keep in mind that it is ultimately impacting your ability to get out of baby step two faster. But if you acknowledge that and you're okay with it, then that's where you're at.
I love that they're thinking this deep into it. So they it sounds like they're really working on it though.
They're working on it. And you know what else I would say is that means you have to sacrifice everything else in your life for that value. You should not be having cable, you know, all these other little expenses, subscriptions, strip all that out and it'll probably offset your Starbucks.
Baby step two is the toughest one, guys.
It's tough.
Because that's
it's
where
tough.
You're changing your mind at the same time. It sounds like they are trying to change their mindset.
Yeah.
It's tough, guys. But I'm telling you.
She calls it a bad habit, but it's not cigarettes.
No, it's just coffee. You'll be all right.
Just coffee. You'll be okay. Just make sure it's part of your plan and stick to that plan. If you go hog wild and go to Starbucks and spend, you know, $14 because you're not just getting a drink, you're adding some bakery items, and that's not part of your budget, then you're going to have to skip going to Starbucks for a few days. And you're just going to have to suffer knowing that I only have so much on my Starbucks gift card or in my Starbucks envelope. And once it's out, it's out.
And trust me, I before coronavirus, I work in a corporate headquarters too. And there is a Starbucks in the cafeteria area.
Tempting. Yeah, very
and,
tempting.
And by the afternoon, you get tired and you need a pick me up. And so what people are looking for energy afternoon, that's where you see those commercials on TV about 5-hour energy. And because people in the afternoon at headquarters or in their offices,
kind of slump.
they're in a slump. You're in a 2 o'clock slump. So all the advertising geared towards. So I get you need something to keep yourself awake to get you to 5 o'clock. I get it. So
yeah, in Miami, in the offices, we between 2 and 3 o'clock, there's cafecita. So somebody in the office always knows how to make it, and you don't pay for it. They just come. It's like a little. It's not even a shot glass size. It's like half or a third of a shot glass size. It's like filling up one of those creamer things that you see on tables.
Wait,
mean
you like Cuban coffee?
Yeah, it's Cuban coffee. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in on that. I love that stuff in Miami.
It's almost pure sugar.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I've never had it till I came to Miami.
It's pure sugar that's whipped with coffee, like a smidge of coffee. They whip the sugar and then they pour more coffee over that. And yeah, it is super intense, but that's a very Miami thing to do.
Oh, no. When I taught classes in Miami, somebody from the fire department would know how to make it. And all these little cups, paper cups were out. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, they're tiny because they're so potent.
Oh, my God. It was so sweet. No, you're right.
And you just slam it back and you're like, woo, yep. Ready to go.
And then they're ready for class in the afternoon.
But it's a lot of sugar. It's a lot of sugar.
I got one more question for you.
Okay.
I like this one because I probably need to know this as well. All right. So I have a side gig that is actually becoming pretty profitable. Hey, congratulations on that, by the way. I'm beginning to take out 30% to save for taxes. Very smart, by the way.
Yes.
My question is this. What should I do with this money? Naturally, I like it to be earning money while I wait on the tax. But I'm also going to have to be able to have access to it quickly when it comes time. Any thoughts?
Yeah. First of all, you can't wait until tax time to pay that money.
Right.
You have to pay it quarterly.
Right.
Or you're going to get hit with penalties and fee and late fines.
Yeah.
So you need to be paying it quarterly. There's a quarterly payment schedule. You have to send it in on what's called a 1040-ES. And you can look that up right on the IRS.gov website. So you need to be paying it quarterly. And my guess is even as profitable as your business is, you're not going to be setting aside much in 3 months. That's going to be very profitable in some other space. So I would just keep it either in a separate savings account or, a separate checking account that's just for paying taxes.
Yep. I'm in that same situation where I'm getting ready to start getting that money for my profitable side gig now. So I am actively researching getting ready for that because I've never had this happen before.
Yeah, I have to write a check to the IRS every 3 months, and it's painful, but I just keep that money in a separate savings account.
And good thing I have you around to bug, because I'm like, all right, because I've never had to get in this detail. I've always had people doing this for me, so that's a great question. That's why I left that in there. So yeah. I did know you got to do it quarterly, otherwise you get hit.
You have to do it quarterly, or you're going to get hit. You're going to get nailed with penalties for late payment.
And not
they
only
want their money. They want it before April 15th. Yeah.
And don't forget, you have to pay your state as well.
State quarterly payments as well. Yes.
Yeah. Not just IRS, but check with your state and make sure you have all that set up as well. So you do guys send that in quarterly. And it's all electronic nowadays. I mean, I don't know what state you're in, but in Maryland, it's all online now. They've made it so simple now. And the people I've been working with have actually been very helpful because they're trying to help businesses get to do it online, just like our motor vehicle. Everything's online now. I love it in Maryland. So, every state's going to be different. Trust me. Right. Yeah. I mean, how is Florida with your unemployment?
No income tax.
Yeah. I wish I had that. I got to get out of Maryland because of that. I really do. The taxes are high here, but it's a great place. But yeah, I got to go to a state that's tax free. With low sales tax. What's your sales tax in Florida?
I think it's around 7 or 8%.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. Some places.
And then, of course, we have higher property taxes, too.
They get it somewhere.
Well, so here's how Florida gets most of their tax money is through tourism.
Oh, that's right.
So that's really hurting budgets right now.
Without this.
But usually we just tax the crap out of tourists, you know, hotels.
Yeah, you do.
Park passes.
I've stayed in a lot of hotels in Florida. I'm like, how much is this tourism? Yeah. There's like so five.
You pay, it's like 12 to 15% on hotel taxes between the state and local.
And by the way, it's there's like four or five of those taxes on there. It's not one. Yeah,
it's like a whole list.
When I do my travel expenses for the corporation I work for, I have to detail those out. I'm like, really? There aren't enough lines for me to fill them out for the hotels. But
that's how they keep it affordable for residents by taxing the tourists.
That's why I need to be a resident and not just a visitor. So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. I think those were probably some of the best questions we've had in a long time. We covered everything.
Yeah, keep them coming.
I love that. Yes, send us your emails, podcast@rocklandusa.com. And we love to have your questions or post them in our groups, and we'll read them. So that was really great. Thank you for your time, Amanda. That was awesome.
All right.
All right. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter @AgileAmanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms @RocklandUSA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.